الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Yesterday we discussed the purpose for which we are supposed to be here. And we discussed about ghaflat and mindfulness. And that is such a thing that it covers it up, that we don't know really why we are here. And it's only by the fizzle of Allah that Allah opens a person's conditions to him. Otherwise, like for example, we are many of us that we made bayan on one thing for how many years, but it never dawned on us that we have to make amal on it. After so many years, then you become conscious that I'm not making amal on this. Then you start making amal. And how many things still we don't know that we are not conscious of. So therefore, we have to make lot of dua to Allah for His special fazl. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, whom Allah Ta'ala favors, Allah shows His faults to him. He starts seeing his own faults. And those who see their faults, they should make lot of shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And those who don't see, and we are seeing the faults of others only. And today, commonly also it is, we want to reform the whole nation. We want to reform the whole world. Everyone is worried, and that should be a concern. But that concern is necessary, important, virtuous, very laudable, very necessary. But we must not forget to reform ourselves. The first is we reform ourselves. Then together with that, we keep on reforming. And when we speak to others also, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, I address myself first. And I see what are the weaknesses which are within me. And I speak about those things and I address myself. And even like that, when you speak, your ears are the nearest to your mouth. You are the first one to hear it. And before hearing it also, you prepare your talk. Or if you don't prepare, when you talk also, then it has to be processed in your mind first. So you are the first one. So we must not forget ourselves. And one of the things of ghaflat, which perhaps helps us to understand that we are still ghafil, that we don't take it that, no, I'm conscious of it, that I am aware that I have come from my islah. We can just take the example of our namaz, our salat. How much of concentration have we got? We are so ghafil, we try, and then we don't know when and where our thoughts are gone again. And then again when it comes, Allah reminds us again. Then we think again a little bit, and before we know what, again the thoughts are gone somewhere. So there is still so much of ghaflat with regard to our namaz. So we have to work on these things here, and that Allah gives us consciousness of our namaz. And namaz is after iman, the greatest ibadat Allah has given us, the greatest gift, and it is very necessary. With regard to namaz also, inshallah, we will discuss it at that time. But just a little bit, how many of us really got that concern? I must be improving my namaz. Is my namaz improving? Many of us may be such that we got qaza namazes. Had it ever occurred to me, I have to make my qaza namazes. So those are all very important things. At least the outward posture of namaz we correct. The inside is very, very important, but at least the outside we correct. So this ghaflat is a thing that is very much on us. And we are very unmindful of many things which we are responsible for. Many a husband will think, I'm a good husband, but if we really just have to analyze it, then we will find out that really I'm the worst husband. Where I was thinking I'm the best husband, actually I'm the worst husband. And the same the other way around with the wife also. Many a wife will think that I'm a perfect wife. But if we come to know reality, if this ghaflat, that parda, that veil of ghaflat is just removed, and we see things as they really are, which will come out on the day of Qiyamah in any case. Such great, great buzurgs, like Hazrat Mana Shabbi Rahmat Usmani Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Mufti, the Mufti of Dioban at that time, very great Mufti, and all other great, great people. They were making that Taraweeh And then in the Taraweeh, Mufti Sahib himself, Rahmatullah Ali, was reading, and when he came to this ayat, Yawma Tubla Sarair, the day that secrets will be opened up. And he repeated that ayat. All of them, what's the condition they came on? Some of them fell unconscious, some of them started screaming and shouting, and Mufti Sahib just kept on repeating the ayat. They went and made wuzu again, they came back and they came back and they came back again, and then they carried on. So that we are conscious Qiyamah's day, but the reality of the day of Qiyamah. And this ayat means the day the secrets will be opened of everyone. And such great people, they perhaps have got no guna, but yet they feel they are guilty. In fact, one buzur, something went wrong in some transaction or whatever it might have been, about 6 dirhams. He didn't pay somebody or something like that happened. And he says, in my life, I gave 600 dirhams how many times to cover up that 6 dirhams? I gave 6. So they become so conscious that on the day of Qiyamah, what will be our condition? So this is when that ghaflat goes away, that veil of ghaflat. So it's very important. So Allah Ta'ala make it that we really come to realize, me first of all, that we have come here and this whole program is arranged for every one of us, our Islah, correcting our lives. And by that is really our spiritual lives, to control, to correct our spiritual lives. Alhamdulillah, there are few friends here who ask questions. And they want to know all the time, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, is it right? That means they are conscious. So Allah Ta'ala make it that we become conscious of it, and that comes to the fore, that I'm here, and then, for example, du'as. Are we making du'a that, Ya Allah, make my Islah? Ya Allah, I want your love. Oh Allah, grant me your love. If we are, that means we are conscious. If we are not making those du'as, that means we are not conscious. Because what a person wants, and Alhamdulillah, every one of us, it is our aqidah, that Allah is the only doer. Allah only can correct our lives, etc. So we have to depend and we have to beg of Allah Ta'ala. So this du'a is a good thermometer to check for us. And perhaps now we make a du'a, or perhaps after Maghrib, and after that we forget again. That means it hasn't still dawned upon us that I need my Islah. Allah Ta'ala bless us with that. And then the other thing is, when we want to make our Islah also, when we come to that stage, which is absolutely essential, then the next thing is that we must be sincere in that. Our Islah must not be that people talk that, mashallah, he's such a pious person. Look at his namazes, how well he makes his namazes. Look when he makes dua, how he cries, etc. Our sincerity. And many of the muhaddithin, ulama, started their kitabs with the hadith of innamal a'malu min niyyat. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That our niyat must be correct in everything, solely for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And so that is, first of all, we must have the niyat. And then that niyat must be only for Allah, for Allah's pleasure. And if a person wants to make his islah, and he is doing it for Allah's pleasure, not that people will talk, not for any other purpose, whatever it might be, but only for Allah's pleasure, then naturally Allah's help also with the mukhlisin. Allah's great help is with the mukhlisin, with those people who are sincere. And when a person is not sincere, then it's very difficult. Allah's help is not with those people, and without Allah's help, nobody can move an inch. Nobody. Yes, this can happen, istidraj. A mirage. It looks like we are achieving something. And Allah can leave a person on that condition for years and years. And then he realizes, no, it was not this, it was something else. For it can take how many years before if it opens up to a person in this world, it's a great blessing, ghanimat. Otherwise, if that istidraj only opens in the qabr, in the akhirat, like it is said, how many people will go in the qabr with so many namazes they made, and nafil namazes, but when they go in the qabr, not one namaz is there. Our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, on one occasion, our Shaykh, Hazrat Shumalana Shah Hakim Muhammad Ki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, heard from many people that Hafiz Sahib was running a very successful Hifz class, and many students became Hafiz under Hafiz Sahib, and most of his students went further and became Alims also, and serving Deen also, so his sincerity. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib wanted to meet Hafiz Abdul Rahman, a man of that stature who has got so much of sincerity, such a Allah wala, such a pious person. He asked Hafiz Sahib, how many students you made Hafiz? So Hafiz Sahib immediately told that I will know in the Qabr. Now I don't know what is accepted by Allah, that is what is mine. What is not accepted by Allah, I can say, now I made 200, I made 100, I made 500, but if it's not accepted by Allah, what is it? So at that time, maybe about 15, 20 years ago, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, if for this answer, if I had 100,000 rand, I should give it to Hafiz Sahib, that the reality of the thing. So sincerity is a very, very important thing. And to first of all, the parda of unmindfulness move away. We realize we are here for our islah, all of us. And then, then the sincerity comes in there that we want to do it only for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And our condition of sincerity has to reach this level. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, my namaz, وَنُسُكِي, my hajj, arkan, all arkan of my deen, my whole deen, مَحْيَايِ وَمَمَاتِي, my living and my dying also, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, must be only for Allah Ta'ala. I'm living also, not for any other reason, but for Allah. My dying must be also for Allah Ta'ala. And if we can reach that, then that is a very, very high stage. That everything of ours is solely and only for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And we have so many instances like that to encourage us. The instance of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he had caught the enemy and he was sitting on him and now he was going to kill him. That enemy, he spat in the face of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We all know this, but the muzakara is always beneficial. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, remind for a reminder is beneficial for the believers. In fact, our Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, says that sometimes we say it's no use telling people, nobody listens. He says such a person, in a sense, has to read his kalima again. Allah is saying reminder is beneficial. And we say no use telling the people. When Allah is saying, and the simple thing Hazrat says, keep on reminding, when you will remind, your ears are the closest. You'll be reminding yourself, and you will get the benefit. If others benefit or don't benefit, but at least you will benefit. So we should keep on reminding also, for this reminder is very beneficial. And muzakara, talk of deen, has to be everywhere. Wherever we are sitting, we are traveling in a car, few friends, and sometimes we're just talking of all dunya things. Try our best that we bring the subject onto deen. And if we cannot, then at least in our own heart, softly we read Durood Sharif, we make some zikr. Otherwise that majlis in which Allah's zikr did not take place, that will be a cause of great sorrow on a person or for a person on the day of Qiyamah. So we try and turn the whole direction towards deen. If we can't, for whatever reason, then at least we make some zikr. And then we get that, at least we make some zikr of Allah Ta'ala in that majlis. So, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he had that enemy and he was about to kill him and he spat in his face, at that time he withdrew. Then that enemy was also surprised. You had the best over me and you could do what you want to. At that time you withdrew. Why? Why didn't you kill me? He said that up to now my niyat was for the pleasure of Allah. But now that you spat in my face, now I became angry and I would be taking my revenge out. And we have to think, how many times as a ustad are we taking out our anger on the children, or really because we want to teach them we are reprimanding or we are telling them something. And sometimes is it because I got an argument at home with my wife And I come and take out that argument on the children, that because of that, or with somebody else, I had some fight or something, and now I'm angry. And now, and our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also says that anger is very shrewd and very sly. It's very shrewd and very sly. It only comes out on a person who you have some authority over, who is weaker than you. Like, for example, in most cases, the wife. When the wife is like that, humble, then a person takes out his anger on the wife. But the minute a stronger person comes, Hazrat gives a beautiful example. A person was very angry on his wife, screaming, shouting at her, telling her that I'll make mincemeat out of you, I will slaughter you today, I will do this, I will do that to you. And very angry he was, and I can't control my anger. And suddenly there was a knock on the door. When he peeped to see who it was his two brothers-in-law, the wife's brothers. And both are in the army. And they with their army uniform. And they got their guns, it's everything. Now suddenly he tells his wife, just forget everything. I don't know what happened to me. Just don't speak about it. Now where the anger went. So anger is just makes a big fool out of us. That we think I'm very angry and I can't control myself, but shaitan and that anger is laughing at you, that you're such a big fool. The same way with lust also. Lust also, it makes a person feel, whether it is to look at a woman, whether it is to have an affair with a woman, or young boys, masturbation, they suffer from so much that I'll do it this one time and then no more, I'll do it again. It's making also a big fool out of you. At that time, if just something you have to, somebody has to, a senior has to come and call you, has to come to you where you are, and he starts talking to you, now where your lust went? Just now it was such, it's impossible, 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 if till I don't fulfill this lust of mine. You are looking at a woman, and your sheikh came there, or your friends came there, or your wife came there, now suddenly you got the power not to look. Up to now, I just couldn't help it. You are on porn. Allah forgive us and protect us and save us all. You are on porn. The minute you see your wife is coming, now you go on news. Now why suddenly you are gone away? Up to now, I can't help it. I have to see porn. Till I don't see this porn, I don't get satisfaction. But now suddenly, why it went away? It's all just a big deception. And our nafs makes a big fool out of us all the time. And if we can understand, and nobody likes to be a fool, that people must mock at you, and shaitan makes a fool out of us. Shaitan makes a mockery out of us all the time. So we have to try and come out. So we have to control ourselves, bring the sincerity within us. And for that reason, one is zikrullah. Zikrullah will take us out of that. The other is we stay with people who have got the sincerity in them. It will rub off onto us also. When we see that they are doing everything only for the pleasure of Allah, it will automatically rub off on us also. Then it is dua also, that we make dua also. And the sincerity, it's not one thing that you have got it and it's guaranteed for life. You have to look after it all the time. A famous one story of one buzur, he was very pious, making lot of Allah Ta'ala's ibadat. The people were worshipping a tree or something, so he heard him, how can the people worship a tree? Must worship Allah Ta'ala. What can a tree do for you? A tree can't do anything. So he went very angry and he's going to chop the tree. Shaitan met him on the way and in human form, and he told him, where are you going? He said, the three people are worshipping this tree, making ibadah, they're asking their needs from the tree. I want to chop it down, they mustn't know. He said, you leave the people alone, you making your ibadah, you are safe, you carry on. He said, no, I can't. He was sincere. I must chop this tree down. Then Shaitan tried many ways, but he was sincere. So then he wrestled him, Shaitan. And he overpowered Shaitan. He went, he chopped the tree down. Shaitan also told him, you'll chop it down. Then afterwards, they'll worship another tree. Another tree will grow. They'll worship another tree. Something to the sort, the effect, but the moral is the important thing. So then anyway, he overpowered Shaitan. He went, he chopped the tree down. He went back again to his ibadat, carried on. Then again people were worshipping. Now he wanted to go again. Shaitan came to him and told him, you leave the people alone. How many trees are you going to chop down? And you, I will give you your, some coins, gold coins for your necessities. Every day you will find it under your pillow. And then you carry on with your ibadat. So he fell for that. And the first day he found the coins, he was happy. Next day no coins. Now he wanted to go again. They went to again go and chop the tree down. This time he went. Shaitan met him again. Where are you going? I'm going to chop the tree. People are worshipping the tree. So then he didn't listen. They had again the Shaitan wrestled him. This time Shaitan overpowered him. Because now his niyat was no more than sincerity. So therefore, we can have sincerity, but we have to beg of Allah Ta'ala continue still more. We must have that sincerity. And this jihad of the nafs, fighting the nafs, is also till more. So we have to make our niyat that we are here for our islah, and then we must have sincerity in that. Also, for muzakara, we all know the instance of those three people in the cave, that they were traveling, and they took refuge in a cave. There weren't hotels and motels and inns and things like that in those days. So they went in the cave, and it happened that a boulder fell on the front of the cave, and they couldn't come out. So then they thought to themselves and they presented to Allah Ta'ala three ama, everyone one amal of his, which he did solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. As they presented those amal, the first one, the cave moved a little bit. The second one, a little bit more, the boulder from the front. Third one, completely. And then they came out. So with sincerity, it will help a person wherever he is. Even in these days today, we can be caught up somewhere. You might not have your cell phone with you. You got your cell phone also. Your batteries are flat. You got your cell phone. You haven't got airtime. You got your cell phone, but you got no connection. It can happen. But if you got sincerity, no matter where you are, and you turn to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will help that person. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, in the belly of the fish, and he cried to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala saved him from there. And that is also very, very interesting, the whole details of it, how Allah Ta'ala saved him, how his family had all, somebody, his wife one side, his children one side, and how Allah returned all again. So sincerity is a very important thing. We have to work towards sincerity our whole life. And on the other hand, if we don't have the sincerity, we also know on the day of Qiyamah, the first people that will be called for reckoning, one will be a qari, not necessarily a qari, but a person who was a muqri, who was a ustad, an alim, and he served deen so much, whole life he served. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask him, what have you brought? My whole life I served deen. I did everything for the sake of deen. Allah who knows everything. That day, may Allah let us all see our faults before that day in this world, and we make tawbah. And sincere, and we try and come out of all our gunas. Make sincere tawbah and come out of all our gunas. Now on that day, it will be, Allah Ta'ala will say, you are lying. You didn't do it for my sake. And nobody will get punishment on the day of Qiyamah until he himself is completely convinced, I am guilty. And he will be convinced himself that it wasn't an unfair decision. A person will be so convinced with himself. In fact, with regard to that, one great Buzurg says on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Ta'ala has to offer me, that you make your own decision where you want, where you have to go, Jannat or Jahannam. You got your record of deeds, Iqra kitabak, kafa bi nafsikal yawma alayka hasiba. Your kitab is there, and you can make your own decision whether I must go Jannat or Jahannam. He says, I won't take it in my hands. I'll say, Allah, you decide my case. Because I can't have mercy on myself so much how Allah has mercy on me. how Allah will be forgiving and Allah will be merciful. A person is not even in this world, even now, he can't be so merciful on himself as how Allah is merciful. And really, if we all have to just think how many favors of Allah, we can never reach it. Perhaps 99.99 favors of Allah we don't know about also. The 1.01 or 0.0001 which we know, that also we know very little. And in spite of that, how much are we disobeying Allah Ta'ala? What kind of namaz are we performing? When we're making zikr, what kind of zikr are we making? I'm making bayan now. What is my niyat? Only Allah knows. Whether it is whatever the niyat, but Allah knows this person is not a genuine person. Yet Allah's favors don't stop. Allah still just showers us with His favors. So how merciful, how kind is not Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? It is said about Hajjaj ibn Yusuf Thaqafi that when he was on his dying throes, his mother came and visited him, and she told him that what a life you led, what, how many people you had executed, killed, and how you had them killed, and what your life, what is going to happen to you? So he said that, you are my mother. If you have to make a decision for me, I must go to Jannat or Jahannam. Mm. What decision will you make for me? In spite of all the wrong I did. Every mother will want, in spite, no matter how bad, we know how many instances the child can be, what a drug addict, how much he troubles the parent, everything. But the mother is still a mother. She said, I'll make decision of Jannat for you. See, then he said that Allah, who loves His creation more than all the mothers of the world together, human beings also, Muslims, non-Muslim, animals also, all, then I got great hope in Allah Ta'ala. And according to your hope in Allah Ta'ala, أَنَا عِنَّ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. What hope we have got of Allah, Allah will treat a person like that. So we must never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, so this, the first will be that Qari, who will be, that Allah will say, take him, throw him into Jahannam. Second will be a wealthy person who spent all his wealth, and he was thinking that I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. But in the meantime, it was for name, fame, and there are so many ways that you bring about this name and fame. You do a lot of charitable work. You give out parcels for, or hampers for the poor, the needy. But your advertising of your company is also there. That you are actually, that more your company, your things must sell more, etc. Or just that it is from so and so. Lot of, in various ways, how shaitan comes to us. So that person also, he'll say, Ya Allah, I spent so much, I had how many masjids built, how many madrasas built, how lot of charity work I did, etc. Allah will say, you are lying. And then the third person, who gave his life in the path of Allah. In fact, one incident which comes in the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that if you want to see a person of Jahannam, look at this person, one Sahabi. And then he was fighting until he came such a condition, he could not take it and he committed suicide. And then, so the Sahaba were also shocked that the way he's fighting with so much of valor and so much he's fighting and so much enthusiasm. But finally, what happened? He also. So we have to be very careful. On the one side is this picture also. But on the other side, we must never lose hope also. Never let such talks also overtake us and we feel that we are, where will I reach there? We can never reach. The sincerity of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, sincerity of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the Sahaba ikiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, tabi'in, tabi tabi'in, we can't reach there. But that is a model. We have to keep it in front. That is the ideal. And that is what we have to work towards. But then, the reality is that we are and therefore also it is said that we must follow our mashayikh of our time. They will be able to guide us. And a person who does that, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, that a person, if he reads the kitabs of Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah, many of our ulama ban the kitabs of Imam Ghazali, that we can't manage it now. If a person has reached that level to be able to manage it, then well and good. But otherwise, a person will give up hope completely. He'll become completely despondent. that what is written in there of ikhlas, etc. Me, I'm a lost case. Many things of our buzurgs we read also, many things about namaz, etc. My whole life, my namaz, I haven't made one tenth of two rakats of namaz also correctly. So I'm a lost case, so rather I give up namaz when I can't make it. No, na'uzubillah, that we should not happen. So our buzurgs of our time give us the medicine which is for our times. That medicine was according to those people at that time, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But the ideal we must always keep in front. Don't take them away. We keep that in front. Good explanation of that. Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib Rahmatullah Ali once gave in Raiwin Ijtima, he was speaking to the ulama. And he said that today we won't travel on camels. But that was the mode of transport in the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. And till today, we will still love the camel. And we love that we could travel. But we will be practical. Today we'll have to use cars, we'll have to use aeroplanes, we'll have to use the other modes of transport. But the love of the camel must still be in the heart. That this is how my Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam traveled. And if we keep that principle in mind, lot of other things will also ease up. Today, with regard to our matters of deen, there are a lot of things also which we find today, new things are coming in our deen also. So one is a person just lets loose all the reins. And we just go in an easy way. Now we make deen easy for us. One is, we keep our akabir, our aslaf, the sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala, we keep them in front. And we want to imitate them. We want to emulate them. But we can't. We are according to today. So in that way, a person will keep the essence of deen always. And it will remain with him. And he will be practical in the world also. Otherwise, if a person wants to bring a camel and travel on the camel today, we want to eat the food which Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam ate. We won't be able to eat that food. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, already the people couldn't manage the food which was eaten in the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. So in this way, we keep them in mind. All our akabir, our aslaf, the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and that is the ideal. That is we would like to be, and our hearts cherish and desire and love is to be like that. But we are practical, also, and accordingly then, a person will be proper in deen, the essence of deen will be with him, and at the same time, he'll be practical also. Just to give a little understanding of this, when we had started the madrasa, many years ago, one student came and he told me that we must run the whole madrasa on 100% sunnah. So I said that we also desire. So he's pointed out a few things. So I say, if you want it like that, the actual sunnah is not to use the toilets, flush system toilets. Not even the toilet that you everything gathers there. But you must go in the felt. That was the toilet which was in the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. And I told, we got a nice felt here. So from tomorrow, you don't use the toilets in the madrasa. You go and use that. You go to the felt. We can't. But we must tell, that was the original way. And that is the way to make istinja, istibra, with a clod of mud. And there's a lot of medical benefits in there. And how it absorbs the last drops of urine. But today, if we can use it, but don't drop it into the pan, we'll block the pan. You have two containers, one of the clean clods of mud, we can do it, and the other one, and we do that. So how much we can do, we do, and we try. And in any case, in fact, Hazrat Maulana Qamar al-Zamaa Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, sitting here in the masjid, he explained one very important masala of the tasawwuf of these matters, that the Sahaba al-Kiram, radiallahu ta'ala anhum also, many things were said to them which they couldn't manage. And then they felt very despondent. So he said that, like a shout from the Shaykh, Allah revealed the ayat, so say, Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranak. We listen, we obey. And what we can't, we ask for forgiveness. How much we can, we want to. We want to be 100%. But we are khuliqal insanu da'ifa. And we can't be perfect. We can't, we want, we can't combat with Allah. Allah is Allah. We are weak. Allah created us weak. He knows we are weak. So how much we can do? We try our best. So we keep those examples of many other examples also of the sincerity of the Buzurgs. What great sincerity they had. But in our times, what they say? Simple. When you start an amal, become conscious, conscious, conscious. That same, let that ghaflat go away. That I'm doing this only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So at that time you made your niyat, now it comes in you again. I'm doing it for show. Now these are wasawis. These are whispers of shaitan. There, shaitan is telling you. Yes? And we are taught when we go in jamaat, at the middle of the action, correct your niyat again. At the end, make tawbah istighfar again. Then don't worry about it. Shaitan, on the other hand, will make us also that we continuously, we have got these wasawis. That I'm not doing it for Allah's pleasure. Allah save us all. There are those people who just don't get finished with their istinja. On the one extreme, a person just splashes some water, or some people perhaps hardly make istinja, just use a tissue or hardly use a tissue paper. That is one extreme which is wrong also. And the other, a person just doesn't come out of the toilet. I'm still not clean. I'm still not clean. I'm still not wuzu. Some people washing hands, they keep on how many times, 10, 15 times they wash hands. Women folk, before they cook, they are washing their hands so many times. This wasawis also come. So one side we mustn't have that wasawis, on the other side we don't become so extreme that we don't worry about cleanliness also. So we have to come in the middle path. So for our times today, any amal we do, try and become conscious before the amal, we make our niyat that I'm doing it only for Allah's pleasure. And at that time, look into our heart that I'm doing it only for Allah's pleasure and for nothing else. Middle of the action, if we can refresh the niyat, very good. Otherwise, at the end, make tawbah istighfar again. If we do that, inshallah, we will find that we have reached that stage of ikhlas. And when a person has reached that stage, for such a person, for him to explain that last night I made so much tahajjud, this problem came, that problem came, no problem, because he's got true sincerity. But if we not at that stage, and we for any reason, we also want to advertise what we have done, then we are just losing all our sawab. In fact, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said that one person went and visited a Haji Sahib who had made three Hajj, a triple Haji. So when he went and visited him, the Haji Sahib told his son or his khadim, his attendant, that bring the zamzam water of my third Hajj. So he says in that one sentence, he destroyed the sawab of three Hajj. And those days, Hajj was very, very difficult. Person traveling from the village, coming to the bus stop, from there to the train, from there traveling to the port city, from there by ship, and reaching Jeddah, and Jeddah was like Qiyamah, the customs, etc. And then traveling by camel, 7-8 days to reach Makkah Sharif. And from there to Medina Sharif, how many days on camel it should take. All that, and taking the groceries worth, the rice worth, everything, cooking themselves, everything in those days. And in one sentence, three Hajj like that he destroyed. That he wanted that person to know that I'm a triple Haji, that I made three Hajj. So that also should not be the case that we advertise our amal. On the other hand, we shouldn't be so frightened. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave a beautiful example of this. He says that like when a fly is sitting on a mirror, it looks like the fly is inside the mirror. But the fly is not in the mirror. It just looks like that. So there are many, many of us that I got no sincerity. That all I'm doing, everything is just for show. To have that fear to a limit is good. You mustn't claim that we are sincere, which Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explained so beautifully. Nek banna faraz hai. Apne aap ko nek samajna haram hai. So to become mukhlis banna, to have ikhlas, faraz hai. Apne aap ko mukhlis samajna haram hai. To think that I've got all this sincerity, that will be, we will destroy ourselves. And on the other hand, we have to work towards it. So, we make our niyat at the beginning, and once we have made our niyat to our amal, We fear again something in between. Somebody is praising us. Somebody is telling us something. Then at that time, we again refresh our niyat. That time, we must not be such somebody. Many people praise us. After a bayan, for example, or you read a one beautiful qiraat, and then they praise you. The minute the next person is now meeting you and praising you, this person at the back of your back, he is now talking, but he read like this. He spoke like this, he did that. So never be fooled with the people's praises. We get very quickly taken aback. It is said one person who wanted to sell his horse. He had a horse, in our times a car, and it was very, very, the horse was disobedient, car giving, lot of problems, this problem, that problem. And to sell it, he took it to the auctioneer. And he told him, I want to sell this horse of mine, or in our times the car. So he said, no problem. He said, no problem. Well, what's the work of the auctioneer? He will start praising the thing so much that this horse, the horse, the way it gallops and the way it runs and the way it is good, or this car, it's such a wonderful car, so good car. So when that person heard, my car is so good, my horse is so good, he said, I want to buy it. So he said, but you know, you told me the car is giving you so much problems, this horse is troubling you. He says, but the way you praising it, so that is our condition. Somebody just praise us a little bit, it's gone to our head. And not only how much he praised, we multiplied by 10. That I am really so good, I'm so pious, what my bayan I made, what the qiraat I read, or whatever else it is, it's just my namaz, how I perform my namaz, etc. So when this reality, this veil will move, we will realize. And then in all that, the sincerity only for Allah Ta'ala. Any amal with little bit of sincerity is accepted tremendously by Allah Ta'ala. And an amal in which there is no sincerity, it is totally rejected. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says that you are running a Darul Uloom and you got 10,000 students, but no sincerity, it's got no value by Allah Ta'ala. And you got 10 students, 5 students, but with sincerity, it's got great, great value by Allah Ta'ala. So sincerity is also a thing on our road to reach Allah Ta'ala, our journey to go to Allah Ta'ala, for which we have come here. It's a muzakara, for a reminder for all of us, for both sides. Muzakara, mufa'ala, from both sides, your side, our side, it's a reminder for all that we have to bring, first of all, realize for what we are here, what we have come for. And that is not so easy that you get that realization. When we get it, then we have to have complete sincerity in there, that we are doing our islah only for Allah's pleasure. And if we are doing that, trying to change our lives for Allah's pleasure, finding the love of Allah Ta'ala, Allah won't deprive such a person. May Allah give us all tawfiq that this is a valuable time of this great month of Ramadan. And together with Ramadan, Quran Sharif we have got. Together with that, this environment we have got of the masjid, where malaika are always here. And then here, Allah's rahmat comes down. Allah's rahmat which comes to on Kaaba Sharif, from there is distributed to all the masajid in the world. And we are here, not only one namaz, we're taking that rahmat, barakat and going home. We are here for 40 days, we are here for 30 days, whatever number of days, we have to fill ourselves up. And then again, just one more thing we'll add, which we should also speak, after if we are successful in this, we made our niyat correctly, that we came for our islah, and only for the pleasure of Allah, and we achieved it also. Our islah became also, we got our islah done, shaitan will still be waiting for us. And as soon as we step out here on Eid's night, or Eid's morning, shaitan will again, we'll try now when we go home, you know how we made so much mujahada. It was so cold there in Azad world. Oh, how we tolerated the cold. And then we managed to get something. Then our islah got made. Oh, the food wasn't right. Oh, you know, the people there, they didn't treat us well. Or whatever else. We had to, whole night we stayed awake and we made ibadah. Then we got whatever little we got. So like that, shaitan will still. And this is until maut. Hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, famous that he was saying on his deathbed, "Not yet, not yet." His son asking him, "Hadrat, what are you saying? You are dying, passing away. You have to be reading kalima." He says, "Shaitan comes to me and tells me, oh Ahmad, you are saved from my clutches. You got away. I couldn't say get you and take you to Jahannam." Yes, and from there also see, shaitan doesn't leave a person till the last breath leaves him. But on the other hand, again, we should see Allah's mercy also. Once I mentioned to our Shaykh rahmatullah alayh, we get very worried how our mort will come, what will happen. Hazrat says, why do you have bad thoughts about Allah? Allah is not that friend that at the time when you need Him most, He leaves you alone. Eh? A friend in need is a friend indeed. It's not one who leaves you out in the cold, who leaves you out in the lurch. If we build our friendship with Allah Ta'ala, at that time, Allah won't leave us. Allah will keep shaitan away. Shaitan will try. And when Allah keeps him away, then what can shaitan do? And for that, may Allah put in our hearts, we take this as very small thing. Many of us, we are suffering from this wasawis. Evil whispers of shaitan, minal jinnati wal nas, jinn and people also. They are always there. So, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim is extremely powerful. Read it with that yaqeen. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We take it as small things, not important. And perhaps it has come down. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked for a wazifa. Allah gave him la ilaha illallah. He wanted something special. Whereas, what can be greater than la ilaha, which Allah explained to him, that how great la ilaha. So these things, many things of our deen also, which we regard as small matters, but they are the vital, they are the fundamentals, and those are the things that we have to hold on. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that we make sincerely our intention, that we want to correct ourselves, our spiritual life, only for the pleasure of Allah. Allah will make it easy. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Oh, thank you.